The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We know that the Saints are playing the Chargers on Sunday, August the 10th at 3:05 p.m. out there on the West Coast. And the team is already out there in Irvine, California. We'll be out there for a while. And our own Jeff Nowak is out there as well. He's the WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. Thanks for having me.
10 a.m. out there. I hope it's cooler out there than what it is here.
A little bit. I'm gonna try not to brag too much, but it's nice. The weather's nice out here. It's kind of what they do best. We'll have another 4 p.m. practice today. They're gonna have a scrimmage today, so it'll be a little more interesting than your average practice.
So what's the typical schedule been like for the team out there in Irvine?
Yeah, so this is different than what last year we were out here. They practiced from like 9 to 11 every day. You can really practice at any point. You know, when in Metairie, you have to kind of work around where you don't want to practice in the middle of the day because it's so hot here. You could really do whatever you want. They decided that the schedule they liked the most is, hey, they're going to do an install. They're going to do meetings in the morning. They're going to do a walkthrough. And then the last thing they do of the day is practice. So normally you would have the morning practice. And then, you know, they would get a break for however long. Then they'd have meetings, and then it would go throughout the day. In this case, I think their goal was, okay, we're going to finish practice at 6 p.m., and then that's it. And then the focus becomes, hey, players can do their own thing. They can, you know, do whatever team bonding they want to get done. The veterans are kind of leading their position groups, which is just kind of a different take. And we've seen Kellen Moore kind of find ways to put his own stamp on things. And I think that's just another example of that.
There's been a lot of chatter about the players actually liking the way that the schedule has worked out.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, it's not just the schedule, it's the kind of intentionality of it. You know, I think one thing when you play in the league for a while, players get very attuned to not wanting to have their time wasted, you know, particularly the veteran players. And I think they've all really appreciated how things have been set up. There's a big focus on kind of rest and recovery. You know, they're not just kind of standing around waiting for things to happen. There are breaks. They can get treatment done. We've heard from several players, you know, throughout camp that, you know, they're feeling the best they ever have. You know, Juwan Johnson said that. Devon Godshaw said that. Eric McCoy said that. You know, you just go down the list. I think the players are bought in. That only goes so far, you know, until the games start. They got to deliver on the field. You know, you need guys to stay healthy on the field as well. But, you know, early returns certainly seem good.
So they will practice, obviously, today. I guess they're off tomorrow and then in preparation for the Sunday's game.
Yeah, they'll have a scrimmage today, which is a little unusual because, you know, you have a game on Sunday. They didn't do joint practices this week. This is kind of going to serve as their de facto joint practice, right? I think you're going to end up seeing players in this scrimmage that you won't see on Sunday. Alvin Kamara, for example, he'll be active today. He will not be active on Sunday. I think there's going to be a few players like that. So, you know, it's just kind of a more controlled way to get competitive reps for some guys who you don't need to see in the preseason game. Right. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage that. But otherwise, you know, it's just a situation where you want to make sure you are in the best possible situation going into what is a very important game for certain members of this roster. Right. Like it's not the preseason opener is not going to mean the same thing for everyone in the quarterback competition. Like, I think this is a massively important game for a Tyler Shuck to go out there and kind of force coaches to sit up and be like, he could start week one, right? Like, I don't think anyone's quitting on Tyler Shuck regardless of what happens in this preseason game. But if he goes out there and looks like a guy that you'd be comfortable playing, then suddenly I think that conversation becomes a lot more interesting. If he goes out there and looks like a rookie, then I think, you know, you get really close to to kind of saying, hey, we can cut this thing off early. So, you know, this is going to be an important weekend for a lot of guys.
In reality, how many positions do we have that level of competition actually going on from your perspective?
Yeah, for starting roles, not a ton. You know, obviously quarterback, the offensive line is pretty much set in stone. You know, I think outside corner is interesting. Ike Adam and Quincy Riley is going to be kind of a position battle. It's going to be another example of, hey, does the rookie look good enough to start him? Are you more comfortable with a veteran? You know, the back end safety duo, Julian Blackman, Justin Reed, that's pretty much set in stone. The linebackers, Pete Warner, DeMario Davis, that's pretty much set in stone. Wide receivers, you feel pretty comfortable with. On the other side of the ball, I mean, the defensive line is probably the most interesting position because you have, you know, you have a lot of players who are adapting to a new scheme that haven't really done it before, like a Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson, Chase Young. You have them kind of playing that outside linebacker role. And then you have players that have been brought in who have that skill set. You know, we talked to Chris Rumpf yesterday. He's a guy that not a lot of Saints players will have heard of, but I expect we'll have a lot of big moments on Sunday because he's going to get a ton of reps. And people are going to be like, wow, this guy can play. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how they manage that, right? Because you have the bigger names, the higher profile names, but then you have names like Chris Rumpf and Dasheen Davis and Fadil Diggs, guys that were brought in specifically to run Brandon Staley's scheme and honestly might be better fits for it than some of the depth guys we're used to. So I think it's more about that. It's more about seeing how the players, especially on the defensive side of the ball, are picking up the scheme and look like they can play within it. So that's more what I'm looking for. I want to see comfortability within the new offenses. I want to see the offensive line taking steps forward. And, you know, there are those obvious positions where it's a position battle. But at the same time, I do think that with the new kind of paradigm of this coaching staff, you can see established players maybe getting pushed more than we've seen in the past.
Interesting. At the receiver core on offense, any really serious or significant competition going on there? I think they have a couple of rookies that have come in that are speedsters, right?
Yeah, wide receiver is kind of interesting because you have Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, and you feel really good about him. But there's obviously health concerns with Chris Olave. He did seem to kind of tweak his ankle a little bit during yesterday's practice. He finished out the day. It'll be something to watch. I'm curious to see how much they try to get those guys out there. My issue more with the wide receiver room is that I think it's very kind of, you know, the skill sets are not very varied in that. You know, you talk about kind of a basketball lineup where you could have tall guys, right. You have short guys, you have fast guys, you have strong guys. In this case, you got a bunch of fast guys. And I think you can use that in certain instances, but you really would like to see someone kind of step forward and play a physical brand of receiver. Because otherwise you're going to be very limited if all you can do is try to throw go routes and, you know, throw to guys who are wide open. Like, I want to see guys fighting for the ball. And I think the first guy we see to step forward and really excel in that part of the game, I think he's going to have a roster spot. So we'll have to see. Because I don't think anyone has questions about what Rashid Shaheed, what Chris Olave can do in the way they play the game. I just think that, you know, you want guys who can do specific things. You want guys who you can trust to go over the middle of the field and make a catch in traffic. And I just haven't seen that right now. So, you know, Keenan Allen side with the Chargers, that pipe dream is gone. You're not bringing a guy like him in to kind of fill that role. So I think that's really more what it is I need guys to step in and make difficult catches over the middle of the field. And whoever does that, I think is going to make themselves a name really quickly.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Clear.
Jeff, there's some, you know, offensive coordinator types, and I'm not sure how our head coach's strategy was with the Eagles, that kind of have a set group of receivers, and they kind of stick with them for the vast majority of the game. It's not as much situational. What has been his, you know, kind of his style?
Yeah, I think you're going to rely more on, you know, it's funny because it's really, it's not so much about, okay, you know, how many receivers do you have? It's how many do you roster on a game day? Like, how many do you go into a game with? You have four or five? Are those bottom two more special teams guys that don't really see the field in that way? And I think you are going to probably want to keep, you know, in most seasons you might keep three running backs. I think you have a deeper running back room this year with some varied skill sets. So you might keep four, maybe throw another one or two on the practice squad. And I think you're going to utilize that group in the passing game a lot. You're going to use the tight ends in the passing game a lot with Juwan Johnson. So I don't think you're going to see a ton of, you know, three wide receiver sets. I think you're going to see a lot more two tight end looks, two running back looks with two wide receivers on the field. I don't think it's going to be a situation where you have this kind of massive rotation of wide receivers and you're just seeing different guys on the field constantly. I think you do need the guys on the field to be able to do varied things. We're going to see a lot of run game. We're going to see a lot of heavy personnel. So that might help solve some of the wide receiver questions.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious because we were kind of used to, you know, like five different receivers being used
right
out on the field, you know, from play to play almost, right?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, when you have a veteran quarterback that you can trust to be able to navigate pressure, it's a lot easier to do that, to go kind of five out. And you could just, you know, Drew Brees was the master of being able to manipulate defenses, and he could always, you know, he knew where the blitz was coming before the defense knew where the blitz was blitzing from, right? So you can trust a guy like that. With a young player, you know, you're going to see a lot more max protection. You're going to see a lot more of the running back staying in to pick up blitzes. You're going to see, you know, tight ends chipping and getting out just to give that guy a little bit more time. You're also going to see a lot more QB run game, which is going to eliminate that a little bit. Like, you're going to have zone reads. You're going to see designed runs. Especially early in the season, I wouldn't go into a game expecting to see kind of a wide open offense, right? I think you're going to see a lot of safe calls, you know, setting up third and short, and staying above the in front of the chain as much as possible. Not going to be the most exciting brand of football ever, but I think the goal early on in this season, especially in the preseason, is going to be playing winning football, playing a brand of offensive football that you can win with, and that's going to be positive plays on first and second down, third and manageable. Take your shots where you can because you do have the speedsters. You do have Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, so when they kind of compress and try to take that away, you can hit them over the top. But it's not going to be the, you know, the 2015 Sean Payton up and down the field type offense that Saints fans might be hoping for.
I don't know about you, but that quarterback run game makes me nervous. You know, he had the beneficiary of a great body style quarterback at Philadelphia, you know, for that type of option being available to you. I don't know that we have that on this roster. Do you?
No, you're going to have to be careful with how you use it, right? Like, I don't think it's going to be like a Taysom Hill style run game where you're running QB power and you're like, oh, he can run through that guy. It's going to be more, hey, are they not respecting it, right? Are they not defending it?
Yeah.
And can you get a free 5 to 10 yards on a zone read keeper because they're just crashing down on Alvin Kamara because they're going to say, hey, we'll take away Alvin, and if they beat us with the QB's legs, then so be it. Well, you do have a couple quarterbacks now in Rattler and Shuck, that, and even Hayner, he can move when he needs to.
But
you can get some of those kind of chunk yardages. And I think the coaching point has to be get what you can get and then get down or get out of bounds. Like, we do not need the quarterback fighting for extra yards over the middle of the field unless it's third down and we desperately need it, or fourth down and we desperately need it. Like, if you get a first down, find the closest opportunity to get off the highway and we'll plan and we'll reset and go from there. You don't need a 50-yard gain from the quarterback when a 20-yard gain safely will do. So I think that's kind of where you're going to be at with it, is you're going to be judicious, but you are going to want to keep the defense honest. And I think, you know, anyone who's been out of camp can see that, you know, Tyler Shuck's legs are a weapon. And you just got to use it the right way. Like, I don't see him as a scrambler. He's not a guy who's going to dance around in the backfield like a Lamar Jackson type. But when you get him in a straight line, he can outrun some people. Like, he's quick. So I think that is going to catch some people by surprise early in his career, because we've seen to this point it has been kind of a way to settle him in early in drives. As you get kind of that first zone read, he can stretch the defense to the edge of the field and then make a decision. And it does seem like it has been settling him in a little bit throughout the course of his early kind of training camp run.
And we don't need him doing the high hurdles out there either, right?
No. Stay close to the ground.
Keep both feet on the ground and get out of bounds.
Yeah.
So Sunday, what can we expect? I would assume Rattler's starting, and how long will he be in for, do you think?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what Kellen is willing to divulge today. I've always find it funny when coaches are coy about their preseason plans. Like, what are you trying to protect? Like, just tell us who started our guy. But he did say that they were going to talk about that yesterday after practice. The coaches were going to sit down. So I imagine that a decision has been made today. It's going to be communicated to the players. I think you're going to see a good bit of the starters, probably more than we'd typically see in a preseason opener, just because of the situation and because you're going to want to get both guys first team reps. And you're not going to, you know, if your starter is out there, you don't want to have your starter playing behind the second team offensive line.
Right.
And if you are truly in a quarterback competition and you have not decided who the starter is going to be, then you have to at least give both of these guys some run. So I kind of feel like you're going to, I don't think you're going to alternate. I think you're probably going to give one guy either one series if it's extended, or two series if it's like a three and out. And then you're going to switch, maybe give that, and then give that second guy one series with the first team, and then go from there. I think it's going to be a situation where you probably see a lot of Jake Haener in the second half. So I think the primary work you're going to get done is going to be first quarter, probably first half of the second quarter, and we're going to start to get a picture of exactly where this offense is relative to an opposing NFL defense, not the guys on your own roster who aren't hitting you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Stay cool out there and bring home a win. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital content producer. Have a great weekend.
Sounds good, Neil. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.